Father, we thank you so much for each and every person here today. Thank you that they're not here by chance, they're not here by accident. But Lord, they're here today to receive from you. May this not just, Lord, be another religious experience. No, not at all, Father. But may this be an encounter with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, we set our hearts, our minds towards heaven, from whence cometh our help, Lord. And we thank you for it, all in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said,
amen.
Amen and amen. You know, the word amen is not just a religious word. It means so be it. In other words, you say something, you say amen, so be it. Amen. Glory to God. We began a series 5 weeks ago on this particular subject here called Shalom in the Home. And the word shalom, most of you are familiar with it, thinking that's the only way that Hebrews and the Israelites will greet one another. Shalom, shalom, you know, like we say hello. But it's actually much broader than that. And we've been talking about that. Let me give you the definition of what this means again. And by understanding this word shalom, then we can begin to partake of this in our homes throughout this year, this next year coming up. Amen. And I've already had reports starting to come in from different people in the congregation that have started to experience the wholeness of what this word means here. And it means this. It's translated often as the word peace, but it's the verb of shalom, which means that, listen to this, to restore in the sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete. Someone who's been provided for what is needed to be complete. Notice this, nothing missing, nothing broken. Let's say that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Completeness, prosperity, and welfare. Now, I got that right out of the Hebrew text, okay? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Greek was written, New Testament was written, translated in Greek. Amen? So, this word shalom means so much. I mean, just the fact that it says nothing missing, nothing broken, tells you something about shalom. It's not just, hey, how you doing? Hello, how are you? Amen? It means nothing missing in your life or nothing broken. And you know, God's will and God's desire is that you have a life on this earth. Now, forget about what's happened from here backwards, okay? Amen? Did you ever notice on your car that the rear view mirror is a whole lot smaller than the windshield? But if you get focused on your past, you're looking at something that's really smaller, and you should be looking ahead. Vision. Vision means ahead. Amen? Yeah. Forget about what happened from here backwards. That doesn't matter. What matters is what can, from here forward can change. Now, all of you here that are facing or some type of a challenge in your life, whether it's your body, your finances, your relationships, whatever the case may be, is subject to change. We call it temporal. For the things which are seen, the Bible says, are temporal or temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's the Word of God. In other words, unchangeable, the Word of God. So we take something that's unchangeable, the Word of God, in order to change something that is temporal or temporary. Okay? So whatever trial, whatever test that you're going through is temporary and subject to change. Glory to God. Now, when God put mankind, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, I saw this in my spirit as I was praying this out. There was absolutely nothing missing. There was absolutely nothing broken in their lives at all. There was no sense of something lost or missing in their lives. But when the enemy, through the serpent, came to them, the enemy tried to make them think that they were missing out on something. We call this deception. What is deception? Deception means you believe a lie. Okay? I was standing in line at the grocery store one day and back years ago, and you know how they have all the magazines all spread across the front, you know, most of which are 100% trash anyway. You know, it's ridiculous what they put there. And they had the National Enquirer there, you know, and I had saw someone there pick that thing up and they were looking at it like it was the gospel truth. You know, like an alien appeared to Bill Clinton in the White House. Well, that might be true. I don't know. But there are actually people that believe that stuff. I mean, they really do. They actually believe those lies. You know what I'm saying? But the Word of God is the truth. And the enemy came to them and Adam and Eve and tried to make them think, you know, that God's trying to hold something back on you. You're missing out on something unless you partake of this tree. That's the only way you're going to find out. But what happened is when they went from being in shalom, that's all they knew when God created them. We'll see this in a minute. They went from wholeness, nothing, no sense of missing anything in their lives. They had everything you could possibly want, need, ask, or desire. But the devil tried to deceive them, and he did. He was successful, at least with Eve, because the Bible says in Timothy that man was not deceived, but Eve was deceived and fell into the transgression. Adam was responsible, and he didn't do anything about it. He didn't become the head of his house and deal with that thing like he should have. He let his wife control him. Amen? He should have stood up as the head and say, honey, God said we won't do it. All right? But from the beginning, we know that God created mankind. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here in Genesis, page 1, if you would. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Okay? It's Genesis 1, 4. So notice it says that God saw the light and it was what? It was good. All right, Genesis 1:10. Genesis 1:10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. Number two. Number three, Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass of herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was what? Good. All right, there's the third witness. Fourth, Genesis 1:18, and God said to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from darkness, and God saw that it was what? Good. Verse 21 of Genesis 1, it says, and God created whales and every living creature, you know, Shamu and all those creatures. He created every living creature that moveth, the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was what? Good. And then two more scriptures, Genesis 1:25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So we have nothing bad up to this point. We say we have all good. And then finally, in verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Say very good. Amen. And evening and morning were the sixth day. Now, God doesn't create anything bad. It's impossible for God to create evil. It's impossible for him to create something bad. Now, wait a minute, brother. What about the devil? Well, see, the devil was not created the way that he is now. Okay? He was created as Lucifer. He was son of the morning. He was one of the chief archangels. Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. From all indication, Lucifer was in charge. He was closest to the throne of God. The scripture says that God created within his pipes the ability to sing and worship and things like that. Well, when he tried to overtake God's throne, you know the story, found in Isaiah and also Ezekiel, you know, there's five I wills. He says, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will take over. In other words, I will be like the Most High God. And the Bible says iniquity was found in him. That's why there's no redemption for the devil, because the devil didn't have a devil to tempt him. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he fell like lightning from heaven. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 10. All right, just a quick overview here. And so he became evil, and his beauty was corrupted. Now, God didn't create him that way, but he corrupted himself. All right? He was the Bible says he's the author of sin. He's the beginning. He's the author. The devil sinneth from the beginning, the Bible says. All right? But see, God, and that's what we're talking about today, is God never created anything bad. Never. You'll never see in Genesis of the story of creation that we just read here that on the third day, God created sickness and disease. And he saw that it was good. Well, on the fourth day, God created cancer. No. On the sixth day, God created poverty. No. You'll never see that. But everything that God created, it was considered good. And then we see in verse 31, he says that everything was very good. And so this is the kind of atmosphere that Adam and Eve were placed into this garden from the very beginning. And it's interesting because man was the crown of creation. Did you know that? Man was God's last creation. He created the plants, the animals, the seas, the fish. And I'm probably missing some things here, but everything that's on the earth, God created first, and then He put man in there last. In other words, the Lord didn't put Adam there on this blank moon surface. Did He? No. What did He do? He put Adam and Eve there. He put Adam there first, and then Eve was created out of Adam, of course. And everything was already prepared. God prepared everything ahead of time for Adam and Eve. Praise God. That's how good God is. And then God gave Adam the responsibility of naming the animals. Glory to God. Think about the kind of mind that he had. Now, I said all that to say this. Adam and Eve had this shalom. They knew that's all that they knew was nothing but good. But when they listened to the enemy and they sinned and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the Bible says that the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die. God said that. Now, they didn't die physically. They died spiritually first. They became separate from God. And then they fell from shalom. That means everything became difficult. Everything became hard, okay? And the curse came as a result of that. Well, the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is that He is called in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus is called the last Adam. The real Adam was the first Adam. But Jesus is called the last Adam. And it's interesting because what God did in Jesus is so much greater than what the devil did in Adam. These two men affected the entire human race. Because of Adam's transgression, we all were, because we came out of him, you know. I thought about this one time, and I felt like the Lord gave me wisdom. And I thought, no one's going to grab Adam by the neck and say, look at what you did. Look at how you screwed up mankind. The fact of the matter is, you and I came out of Adam. We would have done the same thing that he did. I'm convinced of that. So we can't blame him, all right? But the good news is that Adam passed, he failed a test, but Jesus passed the test. Now, the first temptation Jesus had was with food. We have it, it's recorded in the book of Matthew. Amen? Chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and it says that Jesus was hungry after he fasted for 40 days. I guess you would be too. Amen? We missed two meals and we're dreaming about food, you know what I'm saying? But the devil came to him, and the tempter says, Luke chapter 4, I think it is, the tempter, Luke called Satan the tempter. When he came to Jesus, he said, if you're really the Son of God, change these stones into a loaf of bread. Okay? Now, could he have done that? Sure. But he decided not to do that because that would have been Satan controlling him. And so he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he passed the test. Adam failed the test with food, didn't he? He failed the food test. Okay? Well, Jesus became the last Adam, and he passed the test that Adam failed. And legally speaking, Jesus restored to mankind everything that Adam lost in the fall. Hallelujah. He that spared not his own son, in Romans chapter 8, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now we know that Jesus paid the price for our sins. How many of you agree with that? Everybody here believe he paid the price for your sins? Okay. That's good and that's very important. Not making light of that. But however, there's a whole lot more to our redemption than just forgiveness of sins. I'm not making light of forgiveness of sins because, boy, without that, we're not going to heaven. Not only does God forgive your sins when you become a child of God, He places in you His Holy Spirit. And the Bible says you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You become a born-again child of God. But on this earth, religion has taught people that physical healing doesn't belong to you. That your financial welfare is for heaven. You know, people sing songs, when we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that that will be. We used to sing that. I remember that song in our church that I came out of, you know. It was an Assembly of God church, of course. But it was all, when we all get to heaven. People cry over it, you know. And it leaves the impression that everything is okay. We're going to get restored there. We're going to get our new body, which we are. You know, get your health there, get your blessing there. But folks, listen, Jesus paid a price so that we could enjoy things in the sweet here and now.
Amen.
Okay? Psalm says that He daily loads us with benefits. Daily. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of His what? Benefits. I heard a preacher one time say, if you're going to have a fit, have a benefit. Amen? That's about right. Amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all, A-O-O, His benefits, who forgiveth all thy sins. Number two, who heals all thy diseases. Mm-hmm. Now, those of us in here that understand the plan of salvation, you couldn't beat it out of you with a baseball bat if somebody tried to, because you believe Jesus died for you, He rose from you, He was resurrected for you, so you could be forgiven, right? And you're firmly convinced of that. Why? Because you've heard it preached over and over and over and over again. And thank God for that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the same truths are in the Word of God regarding your physical well-being as well. Jesus went to the whipping post. The Romans whipped Him 39 times. And the Scripture declares to us in Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24 that by His stripes or by His wounds, we are healed. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Now, medical science has come along in the last 50 years, and they said they've categorized, there's 39 major categories of disease in the earth today. We know there's more diseases, but 39 major categories of disease in the earth today. Now, that's the medical field. They weren't checking with the Bible on that. Well, Jesus was lashed how many times? 39 times. All right? For every one of those lashes, and by the way, those, you know, we've talked about this sometimes at Easter, when they took a cat of nine tails, we're not talking like a wet towel in a locker room here. We're talking, you know, nine tails. And the Romans were so cruel. And if you saw the Passion of the Christ a few years ago, you get a little bit of a clear picture of how brutal these guys were. It was like a frenzy for them to whip people and see them bleed and suffer, you know. But they literally would tie sharp objects like nails and bone and glass and stuff like that to each one of these tails so that when it would strike the flesh, it would pull the flesh and bone. It pulled away from the person that was being lashed. Think about what Jesus went through. And most people could not even endure that. They would die at the whipping post. But God gave Jesus enough strength to endure that. But He did it for you and for me. Jesus paid that price for you and for me. It makes me want to weep. That He did that for me because He loves me that much. He Himself, in Matthew 8:17, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Himself took our sins, took our sicknesses, so that we could take His health. Praise God. That's what the communion table is all about. Is it not? You take those two elements. Now, for years, I understood the fact that, you know, you take the juice, that represents the blood that was shed for us, forgiveness of sins. But what about the other element? What about the bread? The bread represents the body, the physical body, which was broken for you. Why was His body broken for you? So that you could obtain physical well-being. It's interesting, we won't go to there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talked about the communion, the supper table, and he said this in his writings. He said, I've received of the Lord that which I've delivered unto you. The Apostle Paul didn't know Jesus after the flesh. He knew Him after the Spirit. And he was caught up into the third heaven, the Bible says. And God revealed, downloaded to him supernatural information about the communion table, among other things. And Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. And he had the greatest revelation of all the apostles put together. He says, I labored more abundantly than all. He sounded like he was bragging. He says, I labored more abundantly than all the apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God that was on the inside of me. See, Jesus revealed himself to the apostle Paul. And he says, I've received of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, that which I've delivered unto you, the same night which Jesus was betrayed, took bread. And he broke and gave thanks. He says, this do in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Well, Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, now he's writing to the church. He's writing to believers. And he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly and many sleep. Now that doesn't mean like, you know, counting sheep. He's talking people that bite the dust. Okay? They die. All right? And he's writing to the Corinthians. He said, for this cause, many are weak Christians. He says, I'm writing to the church at Corinth. He says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died prematurely. What's the reason? Not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what does that mean? Not discerning the Lord's body. We would say understanding the Lord's body. All right? So they might understand forgiveness, and they receive the benefit of the fruit of the vine. But he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly, not discerning. He didn't say discerning the Lord's blood. He said not discerning the Lord's body. I never saw that until I just said that right now. For this cause, many are weak and sickly, not discerning the Lord's what? His body, all right? So people can have revelation of forgiveness of sins, but then on the other hand, not have a revelation of the healing power of God. Praise God. If you struggle with the area of believing God for physical well-being, the first thing you have to realize is this, that Jesus already paid the price for your physical well-being. He already did. Our job is to find out what the price that he paid according to the Word of God. Find 2, 3, 4 scriptures that tell you what Jesus did to clarify in your heart and in your mind, here's the price that Jesus paid for me. And when you get a clear picture of the will of God regarding your physical body, faith just goes, whew, just rises up out of you, man. Praise God. And so what normally would be considered a struggle as far as your physical health is concerned, you're like, you know what? I ain't going to put up with this flu season. Like it's, you know, hunting season or fishing season. Flu season. Get your license for it. Hallelujah. I've already preached myself very happy this morning. I'm a happy man because of what Jesus did. Amen. And I thank God. I appreciate what he's done for us. But if symptoms will try to come on my body, I just remind myself, well, wait a minute here. Jesus paid the price for this thing. Now, sometimes you have to repent for stupidity. You know, you go outside and it's freezing outside and you don't wear a jacket outside and your throat tightens up. You know, you open the door up for that to come on. But the way to get your healing is, now you don't have to suffer because of that. You can say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't use wisdom here. I didn't use wisdom here. And I tried to act macho and didn't put a coat on and whatever, you know, and open the door up. Well, if you say, Lord, forgive me, I repent from that, then he'll put you right back into a position where you can receive from him. Amen. All you have to do is acknowledge. The Bible says the communication of Philemon, it says chapter 1, it's only one chapter, says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual or effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus pay for your sins? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Did Jesus pay for your sickness?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that was a little bit under the radar. Okay. Did Jesus pay the price for your sickness?
Yes.
Okay. Brother, can you go to Psalms 103 for a minute here? Let's just go over there for a second here. And let's just see this. Okay. Sometimes I think we do an injustice. We quote something, but let's look at it too from the Word of God. Notice this. Bless the Lord, David said, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Now, let me ask you a question. There are benefits, right, that belong to you and me. But he says we're not to forget them. That means you can forget something that God gave you, right? All right, the next verse. Here's the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That means sins. Who healeth all thy diseases. The next verse. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Next verse. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We'll stop right there. Thank you. These are great benefits. When someone takes a job, generally speaking, they'll ask, what are the benefits? You know, do I get health care? Hopefully not Obamacare. That's another subject for another day. Obama tragedy. All right? We're not blaming any person, all right? It's praise God. But people ask, what are the benefits? Okay, what are the benefits of taking on this job? Do I get 401k? Do I get health benefits? How many vacation days do I get? These are all benefits that most people ask for when you get a job, right? Rightfully so. Well, when you got born again, God downloaded and gave you a whole bunch of package of benefits, but you have to find out what they are in order to partake of them. Now, for years, I suffered sickness and disease because of lack of knowledge. I was a Christian. I was born again. If I would have died, I would have went right to heaven, no, without a question. But I was suffering in areas of my life needlessly because I lacked knowledge in my mind about the benefits that belong to me. Now, you're going to have religious people that will criticize and say, no, God has a part in this. God has a reason behind this and suffering and all this kind of stuff. That's a bunch of hogwash. Okay? We have to look at what does the Bible say about these things. Not what man says, not what some religious reverend said. It's what does God say about this. And we see from the Word of God, Paul the Apostle said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died prematurely. In other words, there are Christians in the church of Corinth that died and went to heaven, without a doubt. But they went there needlessly. And Paul was saying, many have left prematurely. How? Not discerning the Lord's body. Okay? See, what we need is not so much inspiration. We need information. Okay? Instead of just hooping and hollering and getting people's emotions excited, we're giving you information right now from the Word of God that will help set you free. Jesus said in John chapter 8, He says, you shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. It's continuing in the truth of God's word that creates liberty and freedom in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's why we can rejoice when the clouds are out and it's cold like this, because we know the answer. But there are people that are so governed and so moved by the weather, they get depressed when this weather comes along like this. They start thinking about Florida and the Bahamas, things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. There are people that live down there that are just as depressed. So it's not the sunshine that's not going to make you a happy person. It's knowing Jesus. Amen. I could show you some Eskimos that are happy. Amen? And for breakfast, they eat blubber. For lunch, they eat more blubber. And for dinner, double the blubber. And they're happy people. Amen? So it's not where you're at. Geographically, it's where you're at in God that makes you a happy person. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So shalom is wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. Now, we talked about in the time left that we have here, just a few minutes left here, that in order to experience this type of shalom, and this is what God put inside my heart, is He revealed to me, not in audible words, but just an impression. God speaks through impressions most often. He'll impress them. It's like a brand mark on your spirit, like, oh, I got that. You know what I mean? And the Lord just began to deal with my heart about us going into 2014 as a body of believers, this church, that everyone here has the potential to walk in shalom in your house. There are people that are in this body right now that you're believing God to get debt-free this year, and why not happen this year? Amen. Seriously. Amen. You say, well, that means I have to take three jobs and work 12 hours a day, 13 hours. No. We're talking about Jesus. When He shows up in your house and He brings supernatural provision for you, somebody could write you one check and pay all your bills off, and you're free.
Amen.
Amen? Well, that nagging thing that's been physically harassing you for years, the doctor said was incurable, that you'll have to have that the rest of your life. Jesus steps in and says, no more of this. Shalom in this house. There, just eradicate and remove that thing right there. Any type of bondage, any type of addiction, any type of unnatural thing that's plaguing you, the Lord will step in and remove that thing, and you'll be standing there free. You know, it was said of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, that were thrown into the fiery furnace by the king's decree, because when the music starts, if you don't bow when the music starts and worship their God, then judgment is coming. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow when the music played. In other words, they didn't compromise. They didn't back down. They had a backbone. And so they found out, so the king made a decree. He said, well, we're going to be throwing them into the fire furnace. The Bible says that they turned up the furnace 7 times hotter. Must have been a lot of wood or something, I don't know. 7 times. Now, how long is the tribulation? 7 years. All right? So they threw him in there, and they said, we're not going to bow to this king. I'm sorry, but, you know, we got a God that we obey. Well, Nebuchadnezzar threw them in there. His men threw them there. And the guys that threw them in there, they got too close to the fire, and it killed them. You know? And they bound up their hands and their feet. And he threw them in there. And under every circumstance, 100% of the time, they're a burnt crisp instantly, those people. But he went over and he looked in. He said, wait a minute. I put 3 men in there, but there's more than, there's a 4th man in there. And he looks like the Son of Man. Who was in there? Jesus. You know, remember the story? So they pulled him out there. And the Bible says not even the smell of smoke was on them. Their hair wasn't even singed. And they were in the same condition before they went in, after they went in the fire, but when they came out. I'm saying all that to say this. You'll get to the point where God will do something for you. The smell of smoke won't even be on you. You might have been through some bad situations, hell on earth, as you would say. But God can bring such great victory in your life that you'll be standing there and you'll remember things that happened in your life, but it's like a faint memory. Now, stay with me now. It's like a faint memory, like, I know that happened, but I don't feel the pain from it anymore. I don't feel the sting from it anymore. Why? Because when the Lord comes in there, He removes not only I deliver you out of that situation, He removes the pain that was involved with that. It might have happened 30 years ago. But then God says, I pull that out of you, and you're standing there free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're a free person. Now, this might seem like a fairy tale for you, but this is what God wants us to experience. This is going to be our theme for the year. Not that I'm going to teach on it every week, all right? If God wants me to, I will. But praise God. That this is the year for you and for me to experience nothing missing, nothing broken in our lives. Why? Because Jesus paid that price for you and for me. Wasn't one of the apostles said, I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. How do we frustrate the grace of God? By not partaking of what Jesus did for us. Oh, man. It's like if you wanted to give somebody something and they didn't take it, and you spent years laying aside something for your loved one, one of your kids, and they refuse to take it. That would make you upset. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and for me. In our emotions, in our bodies, in our financial life, in our relational life, He paid the ultimate price for us so that we could walk in His wholeness and fullness. Praise God. So it really doesn't matter what your past has already done or not done, or failures that you've experienced. Hey, we've all made mistakes, haven't we? We've all missed the mark at some point in our lives. We fell short. But that doesn't matter. God's grace is bigger than our past. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. That was just the introduction this morning. Okay. Number one, how do we experience, in a practical way, how do we experience this shalom in our home? We talked about this. I'll just mention it. Number one is we cannot make any excuses for our past, letting it hold our future back. I'll say that again. We cannot make any excuses for our past, letting it hold back our future. In other words, yeah, I know what the Bible says. I know what the promise says. But Pastor, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the bad relationship I had, or relationships. You don't understand the hardship that I went through. I may not understand that, but God understands that. The fact of the matter is, if we want to use an excuse, do you know there's some people, nobody in this place, of course, but there's some people that enjoy being sick because they get more attention. Say, that's not me. There are people that enjoy the fact of being sick in their lives because people give them attention. Something's deranged about that. Amen? I know Lynn was sharing one time, it was kind of funny, but her grandfather, who's now in heaven, you know, he acted like he had a bad back problem or something like that, you know, and so when the family would, hope I get this story right, but when the family would come around, he'd be walking around like this, you know, and they happened to come over at one time, and they're looking through the doorway, and he's walking around like a gymnast in there doing stuff, you know. They're looking through the window. And as soon as the door broke, oh, you know. See, some people like the fact that they get more attention because they're sick. Okay? There's something wrong with that. Amen? First of all, what's the motive of a person trying to do that? Okay? It's selfish. Self-centered. Right? Selfishness will never get a person anywhere in life. And we're not making light of what a person goes through, okay? We're not saying people don't go through things. But we should want freedom. We should desire freedom. Thank you, Lord. So we cannot, number one, we cannot, if we want to experience this, nothing missing, nothing broken in our lives, we cannot let our past hinder us from our future. I know there's been times in my own life, you know, where the Lord would have me do something, you know, and I lacked the resources to do it. And so it became a logical, reasonable way to say, Lord, I can't do that. Okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. When we first started this church 5 years ago over in Robinson, just a couple of people, we started with it. In the natural, there's no way that we were going to make it from the natural. From the financial standpoint, there's no way on God's green earth that we were going to make it without God's help. It seemed crazy, illogical, irresponsible to start a church with just a handful of people and try to even make it, okay? But you know what? God's grace was there. Amen? And He started sending people like you guys that are awesome people. Amen? But at first, it wasn't there, okay? And I mean, my mind was screaming at me, you know, my thoughts and, you know, we even talk about it. You talk about giving your cares to God. You know, it seemed illogical. But when God tells you to do something, He will provide for you in order to do that thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm thoroughly convinced that where God guides, God provides. Amen? When God guides us into something, the provision may not seemingly be there. But let me tell you something. If we lean on His grace, it will be there. Praise God. All right, so the first way to experience this shalom in our lives is to not make any excuses for our past, okay, but to lay hold of His promise for us. The second thing that I'm going to close with this today, we talked about this briefly last week, is we must have our minds renewed to the Word of God. Go over to Isaiah 26 with me. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him, in verse 3, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We saw this last week, didn't we? But notice that in verse 3 it says that God says he will keep us in perfect peace. Now the word peace there is shalom. Okay? Wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. But the word perfect is the word shalom too. I'll look it up in the Hebrew concordance. It's the same Hebrew word, it's the same exact Hebrew word. So in other words, God says, I will keep you in shalom, shalom, whose mind has stayed on the word, stayed on him, because he trusteth in thee. Okay? So is there a connection between our minds and what we think on and also walking this out, this shalom in our lives? Amen? See, if the word of God is, if people are disinterested in the word of God, what they don't even realize is that they're disinterested in becoming whole in their whole lives. Amen? See, that word of God stuff, that just bores me, you know. Well, what they're saying is, I don't want help. But there is supernatural help for people like you and me if we want it. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how desperate are we? Okay? It's like when you, if you've ever experienced diving in water and going deep, you know, there's something about that. It's kind of interesting. But eventually, you got to come up for some air, or you're going to be seeing Jesus real soon. Right? And I've done that like anything. We'd play games as a kid, you know, we'd throw a coin in the water in the deep end. And we'd get down there and with that goggles on and try to find that coin down there. And it was just a little contest that we would play. And sometimes you're fishing around, literally you're fishing around down there to try to find this coin. And then all of a sudden you're like, I have got to get some air. And so you kick off the bottom, you come straight up, and you're just waiting for that next breath of air. Okay? So in other words, you're desperate to breathe. Okay? And we can become just like that with the things of God and with the Word of God. You know what I mean? I'm desperate to receive from God. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Now, we're not desperate in the sense, you know, that, Lord, show up. God's always here. He's already here. You know what I mean? Or we're desperate for your presence. Songs are sung about that, you know. It gives the impression that he's way out there somewhere. No, we're desperate to get into his presence. So we put ourselves in a position to receive from him. Thou wilt keep him... That's me, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And I want to ask you this question in conclusion here today is, what are your predominant thoughts right now, as we're sitting here right now? What are your predominant thoughts? Are you worried about something? Are you upset about something? That is a direct correlation to what you are presently thinking on. I mean, here we are. We're sitting here and the Word of God's being taught. But I've done the same thing. You're sitting there, but you're worried about something in your life. You're thinking about, how's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? Are you with me? And what happens is that our predominant thinking, our thoughts, will control how we see things, how we think. It'll control our countenance. Someone that's crying, that someone that's sad for the most part, I'm not talking about God making someone cry, whether it's a rejoicing, but I'm talking about a real sorrow, like brokenness, you know, is a direct result of what's going on internally in their thinking, in their mind. Okay? But if we get our minds lined up on the right thing, and we get our thinking, we harness our thoughts, just like you harness a horse. And those reins, you know, knew a little bit about horses. I did some horseback riding growing up, you know. And boy, I'll tell you, some of them horses, especially those rental horses. You know what I'm saying? You go to those places and they got a sag back and see their ribs. You know, and man, they're the first chance they get, they're going back to the barn. Years ago, we did this. My sister and I and some of our friends, we went out, and I was about 17 years old, something like that. And we rented these horses in Bridgeville. There's a place that's still over there to this day. But those animals were really sad-looking things, sad-looking creatures, you know. And we were used to horses that would listen to you, because my parents would send us away. Thank God, they would send us to our Methodist horse camp for a whole week when I was growing up. Every year, we'd go out for a week, get our own horse for a whole week, and we would be trained and go trail ride. I mean, all kind of cool stuff, you know. But these were decent horses, you know. But these were pitiful-looking things. Well, we set out, you know, thinking they would be just like our previous horses we've had, you know. But make no mistake about it, they were not the same. My sister was on a horse, and she really liked horses a lot, still does. And there was a big old pond in the middle of the pasture out there. That horse, of his own free will, went down, walked into the pond with my sister on the horse, and stood in the middle of the pond. I mean, it's the funniest thing. I wish I would have had a camera on me. You couldn't see the horse's legs. All you could see was his torso. And my sister's out there screaming and crying and just, you know, we laughed and laughed and it was so funny. Well, a few minutes later, I'm in the woods with this horse, and there's trees, of course, and then there's a barbed wire fence that blocked off some property. Well, that little rascal that I was riding, he comes over and he starts rubbing my leg against the barbed wire fence to try to get me off of the horse. I mean, do you ever feel barbed wire fence before? It's got some sharp stuff on it, amen? And I mean, I was in serious pain here, and he's trying to throw me off, rub me against trees, you know. And as soon as you let go of the reins, that horse will turn back and go towards the barn. Because that's what they want. They want to just hang out, be lazy, just hang out at the barn and eat. Okay? Well, needless to say, those horses needed some serious rein action. Okay? And our body's kind of like that horse. It always wants to go the wrong way. And we let the reins go, that body will just do anything you want it to do. It'll eat all the pies in the world. Amen? That body just wants to eat everything in sight, stuff that ain't good for you, right? That body will want to get mad and unforgiveness towards people. Someone does you wrong, you want to do them wrong. That's the flesh, okay? But we need to get the reins on our mind. Real good horses are trained in such a way that it takes very little pressure on the rein for them to go different ways. They're rein trained, okay? But our bodies want to, our minds, our wills, and our emotions, we want to do crazy things sometimes. Am I the only one? I mean, even the Apostle Paul said himself, he says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I put my body under. I bring it. He calls his body it. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others I should be a castaway or disapproved. The great apostle Paul says, my body wants to do things that my spirit doesn't want to do. But he says, who's the I? The real me, the spirit man. He says, I bring it, my body, into subjection. So in other words, I pull the reins back and say, body, you're not going to do this right now. Body, we're going to walk in love right now. Someone just did you wrong. Someone said something nasty about you. You know, your flesh wants to retaliate. How many of you know that? Are you with me? Your flesh wants to get mad and retaliate. Amen? I had to do that this morning. You say, well, who with? The police. You say, you were in trouble with the police? No, I called the police today because our road was a sheet of ice this morning. And so I called the district we live in. I called the local police there. I said, sir, this is not an emergency. I just wanted to let you know that our road is a sheet of ice. And he said, no, it's not. I said, I just went down it. And I said, my wife's going to leave the house in a few minutes behind me, and it's a sheet of ice. I said, if you could pass the word on to the people there that do the roads, you know. He says, no, all the roads are clear here in Bethel Park. Yeah. My flesh had a voice right there. I'm telling you, man. So we're, Josh and I, we're driving out because we set up here in the morning early, you know, get out here and put everything up, you know. So I said, no, I forgive that person right now. I mean, I had sort of an attitude towards them at that moment, you know. Well, who knows what he's been through? You know, I don't know what he's been through, you know, but there was a perfect opportunity right there for my flesh to dominate me right then and there. I mean, I had visions of going in there and chewing the guy out. The police, the dispatcher, you know what I'm saying? But where's that going to get me? Probably in jail. You know? No. But do you see how your flesh has a voice? Your flesh has a voice, and it wants to do things. But the Bible says right here, he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I want to just encourage you today, as we dismiss, that this is not to be complicated in any way, shape, or form. But I want to just be as a coach to you right now on a team sport. Say, I'm the coach, you're the team. The team is what makes it happen. It's to take one or two scriptures just this week. This is your assignment, okay? All right? Ready, class? Okay. Is to take one or two scriptures of something that you need, something that maybe it's dealing, your something that's pertinent to your need, whatever that is, right? Some of it's a physical thing, some of it's emotional. But find yourself a couple of scriptures. Begin to think on that scripture and meditate on that scripture throughout the week. You can write it down on a little 3x5 card, or however you want to do it. And you can take that scripture right there and you can look at it and read it. Okay? By his stripes, I am healed. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay? So you're going into work. You're going there. You're about to start. You take that card out. You're in your car. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. After a while, you won't even need the card because it's in your heart. Like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Right? So you can hide the word of God inside your heart where it'll just come right up. And when you begin to meditate on that word and you begin to speak that word, what's going to happen is the peace of God, the Bible says, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the Lord. Now I'll close with this illustration, I promise you. Amen. It's 11:54. We're still doing good here, all right? Hallelujah. But I can put another quarter in the meter right now if he wants a little bit more time. But okay. Do this as an exercise. I've done this before. Let's do this again. In your mind, count, not out loud, but count from 1 to 10. Like 1, 2, 3. But in your mind, you're counting, okay? Ready? Begin. Now say your name out loud. Keith. All right. What happened to your counting? It stopped. Okay? Point being is this. You can be thinking about your thoughts were going in that direction. You were counting. But when you spoke out loud and said your name, your words had authority over your thoughts. Do you see that? Now, I didn't make up that illustration. Somebody else did. I can't improve on it. It's just a tremendous thing. What happens is when you speak out loud, it takes authority over your thoughts. So you're having bad thoughts, negative thoughts, worried thoughts, fearful thoughts about your life, about your future. What's the future hold? What's going to happen, okay? That's where you begin as a child of God to start taking the Word of God. That's why it's important. You know, the Hebrews did this. The Old Testament Hebrews would read the Scripture out loud. They wouldn't just read it. The Bible says there was delivered unto Jesus the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he stood up for to read. That was a practice of the Jews, that they would read out loud. They didn't just read it. They spoke it. what you're reading it to, but you're reading it, but you're speaking it, because something happens, folks, in you and I, because we're made in God's likeness and God's image, we have the ability to choose words, okay, because we're made in God's likeness and image. So the cows can't talk, the dogs can't talk, the cats can't talk. Amen? Why? They're not made in God's likeness and God's image. You and I are. We're a spirit being. Therefore, when we speak what God says, we can have what God says. Recently, I needed something. And the Lord put it on my heart. Start saying it. Start saying it. So I started saying, praise God. And it wasn't barely an effort, to be honest with you. I said, all right. And I started saying some scriptures. Hallelujah. And I started speaking the scriptures. The next day, a miracle took place. Yes. The very next day.
Amen.
And then 2 days after that, I think it was 1 or 2 days after that, the same thing happened again. Praise God. And I thought, that's really interesting. Just by speaking the promise of God, God brings it to pass in your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Everyone here has a mailman that brings, or mail lady, whatever, you know, that brings your mail to you. Whether it's raining, whether it's sunny out, they're there. You're in your toasty, nice living room, you know, and they're out there in rain, hitting them freezing rain and everything. But they bring you the mail. The main thing is you don't care how it comes as long as you get your mail. Well, who cares how your promise gets to you? God will bring it to you. But see, God needs the words of our mouth to bring those things to pass in our life. Angels respond to your words. And that's why it's important that we, as from this moment forward, that we begin, this is not a formula. It's a spiritual law. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, if the words of your mouth changed your eternal destiny, how much more will the everyday words of your life, how much more will the words of your life affect the everyday affairs of your life?
Amen.
Your words change your destiny, spiritual destiny, going from hell to heaven. That's the ultimate. Well, your words will also change the everyday affairs of your life, your body, your finances, your job or need of a job, whatever it is. Your words are containers, and those words will bring to pass the things that you desire in your life. If you just dare begin to say what God says. Say, my God, say it,
shall supply
all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now you got a stack of bills and they're facing you like this. You owe this, you owe this, you owe this. And then you got the word over here. Well, start saying what the word says. My God shall supply all my needs. See, I'm putting my mind, purposely putting my mind on the Scripture, on the Word of God. And when you put your mind on the Scripture, not only it's going to give you peace in your mind, it will literally bring to pass the promise of God in your life. Something unusual will happen. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was confessing this a little while back about something, about I needed some extra finances for something. And I started confessing the Word. I got this unexpected check in the mail for $159. And it was for a rebate for some tires that should have went longer than I had mileage-wise, you know what I mean? And so I gave them the information. This is months before this. I thought it would never come. I forgot about it, to be honest with you. And all of a sudden, this check came in the mail for $159 and some odd cents. And I thought, thank you, Lord Jesus. That was totally unexpected, but it showed up. It just showed up. And that happened like 4 months prior to that when I got the tires. So I thought they forgot about it. They weren't going to do anything about it. So I just forgot about it. But when you start speaking what God's Word says, He can get to you whatever you need.